Item number 12 from the Director of Community Business Development Partners requesting authorization to submit necessary disadvantaged business enterprise 2012 program updates. This item was also referred to the Committee on Transportation, Public Works, and Transit, and they approved the item by a vote of 6-0.
All right. It's a pleasure, committee. Do you want a presentation or
just a brief?
Could you be brief in outlining the item?
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. And supervisors, Mark Phillips, Community Business Development Partners. I serve as the Contract Compliance Manager for the DVE program here at Milwaukee County. In January of 2011, the Federal Department of Transportation through USDOT issued mandatory updates to the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program that had to take effect by February 28th of 2012. Actually, the updates to the program had to be in by the 28th of February, but there's actually a nine-month window to actually implement these new changes and updates. One of the most substantial updates and changes is the inclusion of a small business enterprise participation element. In effect, expanding the disadvantaged business program to businesses that do not meet the traditional social disadvantage classifications based upon race, ethnicity, and gender. So it empowers the county to expand its current good work that it does with small businesses and help to expand those small businesses and strengthen their efforts in contracting with Milwaukee County. Some of the opportunities and options available for us are things that are very akin to the DVE program in that they call for inclusionary practices that can set aside a portion of a contract up to the total value of smaller contracts specifically for small businesses. There's a number of practices that the county engages in that don't really have elements for disadvantaged business participation or small business participation because of its specificity and exclusionary nature. But this would give us the opportunity to help people look at including other businesses that they wouldn't normally do business with.
Yeah. Questions from committee members? No questions from committee members. Supervisor Weisham.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one point, and I think this is good for economic development, and Mr. Tafora. I think it's going to be interesting to find out where, I guess, the tipping point will be, where the rub between the large corporations and the small businesses, because where the conflict line, I guess, will be, because we are now with the small business piece, carving out a niche for them that in the past may have been sort of the low hanging fruit for some larger corporations, that the little niches that they may have kind of filled in, and now and we kind of just sort of threw it in with a bigger package deal. So I think it's going to be very interesting for economic development to try and, you know, find that balancing point between large corporations and smaller corporations, and to alleviate maybe what could be seen as some conflicts in the future. So I don't know if you quite got that, but I think there may be, it's a new phase that we're going through, and I think it may, some of the larger corporations are going to need some education on this.
If you could, my packet has disappeared on me, so I can't even read it. What is the definition on the small business enterprise, and what will our opportunity be in terms of set aside for that niche?
Well, the actual definition of a small business enterprise will be exactly the same definition as a disadvantaged business enterprise, with the exception that we're going to remove any language that refers to race, gender, or ethnicity. So, in essence, it's going to be a business that's owned and controlled by, I'll read the actual definition here because it's kind of long. Basically, it's going to be a small business is defined by the Small Business Administration standards. And each small business administration defines businesses either by their gross receipts or revenue or else a size standard depending on the industry. An example would be legal services that we just had up here. A small business would be any firm that generates revenue less than $7 million a year in the preceding 3 years. So we're not talking about necessarily mom-and-pop shops, but we are definitely including mom-and-pop shops as well. But far too often, like Supervisor Wyshon alluded to, we have this concept in our mind about what a small business is. We're talking about really emerging and growing businesses, people that are just needing a little more help to break into that the big leagues, so to speak. So it's a business that is organized for profit, that is independently owned and operated and not dominant in its field. Depending on the industry size, standard eligibility is based on the average number of employees for the preceding 12 months or on sales volume average over a three-year period. In no case will a firm be an eligible SBE or small business enterprise in any federal fiscal year if the firm, including its affiliates, has had average annual gross receipts as defined by United States Small Business Administration regulations over the firm's previous three fiscal years in excess of $22.41 million, or if the owners of the firm exceed the personal net worth described in 49 CFR Part 26. And that current personal net worth standard is $1.32 million. So, again, we're not talking about people that just, you know, wanted to hang their shingle last night, but people that have been out here doing good work for the community and for Milwaukee County for a number of years and are looking to grow and expand their businesses as well as the startup shops.
Further questions, Supervisor?
I have a question, and I'm going to try to make it as germane to the subject as possible. So, and yeah, I'm asking for a little latitude here. The city of Milwaukee just had this great controversy with Chapter 130, where they basically, and I'm sure you're really familiar with this.
Yes,
but basically they reevaluated their DBE program, and they came back and said, oh, well, you know, we're doing so awesome that we no longer need set-asides for this group, this group, and this group. And for this group, we're going to increase the set-asides and in, you know, these different categories. And construction was one of them, and that's one of the ones that we always do well in.
Correct.
But in all of the other categories, I mean, we struggle. I think I've been on the county board for 8 years, and I don't think we've ever met our goal in any of the other categories. And I know we've exceeded our goal in construction.
Correct.
But other than that, we struggle. So I guess my question is, as we talk about set-asides and things like that, is how can it be that in the city of Milwaukee, they're doing so well that they're now excluding set-asides or lowering their set-asides in certain areas, and Milwaukee County in the same areas, but within a larger municipality, you know, within the addition of the municipalities, is struggling.
Chair and supervisors, that's an excellent question, and one that I can only speak to certain parts of.
Okay.
I do not have intimate knowledge of the inner workings of their program. As you know, our current DBE program spans all of the activities that the county undertakes. I'm not sure whether or not the city has exclusionary parts of their efforts or not. We have very, very few limitations on what we look at as far as DBE participation goes. There are certain actions that put forward by yourselves as members of the county board, as well as certain things that deal with bonding and whatnot. But pretty much outside of that, we take a look at areas of DBE participation for contracting, regardless of what it is, from paper clips and pencils to professional services, consultants, attorneys, and whatnot. The issues that go along with that is the city paid for a very elaborate disparity study. It was the result of this disparity study that called for these modifications. I think that the county made the correct move in moving to a more of a race-neutral, race-based program, which just says, hey, we're a DBE program. We're not looking at who does what as long as you're certified as a DBE. To go along with that, the City of Milwaukee's Emerging Business Enterprise Program, as it's currently called, does not look as intensely at the certification aspect as we do. We require copies of tax returns. We do on-site visits to the corporation or firm to make sure that they're engaging in the business practices that they say they are and that they are exactly the individuals that they hold themselves out to be, which is something that has a lot of minority firms hesitant to get into it for lack of that expertise in the administration of their business, which is one of the things that we work to help offset and address. And I think that's where our small business element will actually help capture some of those firms that have been hesitant to get involved in the DBE program, sometimes because of the name of the program, disadvantaged business, where some people feel, as was pointed out earlier today, that it's really an advantageous situation. And some people, for lack of better terms, just feel more comfortable with it. Currently in our department, we're seeking to expand staff into bringing in more bilingual individuals to help redress any issues that may be faced with people just on a cultural barrier type basis and situation, something that the city does have a lot more ability to do because of how they're structured. Our department is very small, total of six people, and in that capacity we're extremely limited in how we can function, whereas the EBE program of the city is part of the actual procurement department, so they just have ready access to individuals that can help with presentations and community outreach and whatnot. So I think that there's a lot of different aspects of that of your question that could be addressed through some different mechanisms, and that we are definitely taking a look at addressing. And I do agree with you that no one should be penalized for the successes that they have, and that's one of the things that it comes off feeling as though, right, you know, we did really well, right, with our Latino population on city contracting. Here in the county, Latinos do very well on contracting too, but I don't think that's something that people need to be you know, it's almost like NASCAR. If your car goes too fast, now we got to slow you down, and that's not what we're talking about. We're trying to get these wheels rolling and spinning and creating more jobs and more opportunity, regardless of what people look like if they own the business and they're certified firms.
I just want to say, I mean, for the record, we have done a lot better since 2004 when I got here, but I still think we do have a little ways to go in regards to touching, you know, all of the minority, and I don't like using the word minority, all the communities of color, sure, that we have throughout Milwaukee County. I was amazed. I was at a public, it was actually a debate, the 12th Aldermanic District debate, and the Native American community showed out for that debate because they were upset about the Chapter 130.
Correct.
And I was amazed to see all of the Native American people that are involved in the and this was construction trades.
Yes.
And it was mind blowing. They took up like half of the gym, and so I never realized. But I think that's one of those things too. And again, since 2004, we have done better. I think the subcontractors that we use now, I think they're excellent. In order to get people registered for, but I have also heard at the same time again that it's cumbersome. Our process is cumbersome. We've held, sit downs, you know, with some of the small businesses, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Native Chamber, the African American Chamber, and said, you know, what can we do to make our process easier? And, it blows people's minds, our process. So we're still don't have any good answers to that question, but it's something that, you know, we can work on. But thank you very much. Thanks for the latitude. I was really curious about that. Whereas, you know, they're going, okay, we're so good, we don't need to set aside stuff anymore. We're still adding different categories so that we're able to do that. So, thank you.
I appreciate the explanation. Attorney Evans, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. This is a very good conversation. Having been a certified extensively with the city and the county. You're talking apples and oranges. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of interpretation of the data. And like 103 does not include professional services. So I don't want to get into that, but you need to put those together to kind of take a look at them. And I saw Mark here by himself, so I thought I'd stay and just get him comfortable. But by way of history, I sat on the first DBE committee under County Exec O'Donnell, having put this ordinance into place back then. And I've been a participant in this process since then as a joint certification hearing examiner, as an independent monitor reviewing contractors, subcontractor for the county for Miller Park, and work at a good faith hearing examiner when firms, and to your comment, there's always going to be friction. Nobody's ever going to really like it. But I'm really happy to say here as a proud father, seeing the evolution of this ordinance, because I've taken a look at it, I've read it and examined it, and I think it has taken a giant, the county has taken a giant step forward. It's a matter of how you enforce the interpretation of the ordinance, and I think it bodes well with the folks that I think are here today, the DBE office itself, the commitment it has to participation. And so I just wanted to say that, yeah, when you are looking at the different programs, you're sometimes comparing apples to oranges. And I have an intimate knowledge of the city program, and I think the county program has a lot more positive elements that we can hang our hats on, so to speak, than the city, not to get into disparaging them one way or the other. But I think, and I'm really proud having been a part of this process for so many years to see it come to this. But like you said, we all know that there's a lot more work that needs to be done. But I think this is a good piece. I'd like to see the changes. Expanding it to small businesses is just part of affirmative action is dead. And there needs to be some different interpretation based on the realities, because there are some disparities that continue to exist. And I think once we go from equality to what is fair, we will start viewing things in a much different light. Because, you know, if you don't do nothing, you shouldn't get nothing, as my grandmother said. But if you do twice as much, you shouldn't get half as much. So I think when we start evaluating it a little differently, I think we'll get a much different picture. But there's always going to be people who don't like it, and I think that's where the critical point comes. When there's a disagreement, having been a joint a hearing examiner and being an arbitrator and a mediator, you have to sit down and interpret what is fair for the greater good. And I think sometimes people don't like it, but I think it's more important as you build a foundation moving forward to have that kind of concept. So I think this ordinance is a good ordinance, and it will serve the county well.
Thank you.
30 years ago, set aside meant funds that were provided to firms who were ready, willing, but not necessarily able. And when I saw set aside in the language, I wanted to know if that really is a equivalent to goal. That's the impression that I got. Because again, set aside 30 years ago meant something else. Money was provided to firms that really couldn't do, some firms really couldn't do the work. So.
No, Chairman.
I've heard set aside a number of times today, so I just want to be clear on that.
Chairman, supervisors, for all purposes and intents, our DB program uses that ready, willing, and able as the actual barometer. It's one of the finite terms that makes certification so difficult. It's not about people that just want to open up a business and operate as a pass-through, so to speak, to get on contracts and be named so they can collect some money and not do any work. This is about people doing the work that they already do and learning the skills they need to move on to the next level. The way that we utilize a set-aside is for a small business entity, irrespective of race, gender, or ethnicity of the owner, to really operate in a capacity where they would not have the opportunity to get into some of the types of work that the county does. We build runways. We maintain airports, park structures. We run a transit system. This isn't things that people get into on a routine basis. You don't just open up a transportation company and want to be a paratransit provider. So there are opportunities for people to kind of get into it so they can bring their two or three or four vans into an operation that requires hundreds of vehicles on the street or in the community on a daily basis. So the set-aside is actually very akin to a goal in that it is an element of participation, and it could be the difference between a larger firm being awarded or not being awarded a contract if they don't take the initiatives that this board puts forward very seriously and earnestly. And that's one of the monitoring components that our department takes a look at very seriously, because we do follow the direction of not only this committee but the entire board. And I understand that the county executive feels that small business participation and development is a key factor in the revitalization of Milwaukee and the continued growth and expansion of our community. And I know that the supervisors here, as well as the entire board, feel the same way. So to answer your question directly, a set-aside is very akin to a goal, but it's not something that's actually established on an annual basis. We don't have small business enterprise goals. We have monitoring of the entire time period so that we can take a look at how we're doing business and find out ways to increase the business that we do with small businesses so that in the future we can, in essence, find out how we're doing to see how we should be doing and see where our growth and expansion capabilities and opportunities lie.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion for concurrence. I'll take a motion. Supervisor Weisschen will move concurrence.
I was just going to follow up. That set aside has always been a misconception and a negative misconception. But to Supervisor West's comment about the cumbersome certification process, that process is very important for the reasons that Mark just stated. We want qualified people who can do the work and not create liabilities for the county.
Right.
And a part of the big thing is people that do the work forge better relationships. So, because a lot of times still contractors and subcontractors are thrown together because there's a project. And there's never this opportunity to get to know each other because you have to develop comfort levels and trust levels. And those things are never established. But I think when you have the process, the major contractors feel more comfortable that you have a process that has really vetted the subcontractors. So at least when these projects do come together, they have a modicum of good feeling that there's going to be success there. And then, like Mark says, the monitoring becomes a very critical part to make point to make sure that as things go along, and there will always be questions and doubts, that these questions and doubts will be answered.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we have a motion for concurrence by Supervisor Weisschen. On the motion?
Supervisors Johnson?
Aye.
Weisschen?
Aye.
Romo West?
Aye.
Biddle?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye. All right, final item 13.